Accession number 17628, Mr. Joseph Clark, Reel 13.
Mr. Clark, Reel 13. Did you get any leave whilst you were in the Tiverton area, Mr. Clark?
I believe we got leave round about Christmas time. Not all of the battalion, part of them. I think the split them up. Some came home in the new year. But I did get a leave. I don't know how many days, mind. Maybe 10 days, I suppose. Yeah.
And your family would always be pleased to see you when you came away.
Yeah. But that would be the last leave I got before I went away. Oh, yes.
Did you have any idea beforehand that, obviously you were going to go somewhere abroad?
Well, eventually, because later on we were issued with tropical kit. Yeah, we were issued with tropical kit, you see.
What kit was that?
KD, all shorts and slacks, topee, the usual, what they used out in the Middle East.
Did you have to parade with the kit on to show that it fitted, etc.?
Yes, we did. We had to try it out, and there was parades to see if it fitted okay. Yeah, there was. Seemed a bit strange-like, but there we were.
Did the civilian population know or guess you were leaving?
Well, I think as it got nearer the time, to me, I think there was always somebody would give them some idea.
It wasn't the best kept secret.
No, I don't think so. No. But mind what I believe, I think it was more like a dummy run, I'm nearly sure we were paraded and marched off to the station. Well, it was Tiverton Junction, actually. And we didn't go. Came back as though it had been a parade sort of style. Maybe that was to try and deceive people that you were going off and then you come and, you hadn't gone. But one day we did march up and we went. So they wouldn't know. I suppose that was part of the strategy. Yes, we did.
How did you feel about the prospect of going abroad again, really?
I wasn't very happy. But, there we are. We had to take it in our stride because some of these lads hadn't been anywhere. I mean, we had been in France and Belgium, so if you could call it an advantage, it was, but they were rookies, as the saying is.
In your own experience, did you know of or see men who didn't want to go and tried to get out of it?
Well, I don't know, but before we left Tiverton, we had this new MO, which I told you about. He was a younger man than the one that had been in France. And I don't know how it come about, but there was some of these lads that had a medical. So it must have been organised, maybe through records, I don't know. But some of them actually got within a day of going away and they didn't go. They were medically unfit and kept back. So whether it was because of this doctor or whether it was checking through records or what, I don't know. But there was some medically examined and actually got almost on the station, as the saying is. And they didn't go. No, they were pleased.
Were you given injections for the various diseases that you might come across?
Oh, yes. We always had the...
Were they particularly unpleasant, these injections?
There was one of them, I think it was T.A.B., I think it was, used to keep you down for about 24 hours. Was it T.A.B. and A.T.S.? In fact, I was vaccinated there.
Oh, presumably the men paraded at the MI room and got these injections.
Oh, yes. Or not necessarily, if there was a lot, if he was doing a lot, they would go to a larger room, maybe one of the companies or something, and you just line up, and you went along the lot. Oh, yeah.
And did each man get a general medical prior to leaving?
I don't think so. Unless they reported sick or anything, you know. I don't think so.
When did you leave for... Or when did you leave Tiverton to go abroad?
I would think it was somewhere after the 20th of May. 41.
Did you
somewhere
get a
there.
Did you get a send-off from the station with the civilians turning out to see
no,
you go?
No. If anyone had got friendly with families, maybe they would, but they never got to the station. No. I think the train came up from... I think it would come from Taunton. Because we were at Tiverton Junction. They always called it Tiverton Junction. That was where we boarded the train. We didn't know where we were going, mind. We didn't know we were going to finish up at the other end of the country in Scotland. No.
Do you recall the journey?
Well, not a lot. Not a lot. I can remember stopping at one of the stations, but I can never remember which one. It could have been Crewe, it could have been Preston. I really don't know. But we did stop and got a haversack lunch on the platform. It was all organised, of course. Yeah, we did. They were there waiting. These detachment of cooks or whoever. And we got off the train and probably a pot of tea or a sandwich. I remember that. But I don't know which station it was. It was somewhere in that area, Preston, Crewe, or somewhere there. I really don't know.
Not knowing where you were going, obviously there'd be the usual army rumours flying around.
Oh, I always.
Did it get to a betting situation where there was a book opened on
no,
where they were
not
going?
Not to my knowledge, no. I never knew we were going to finish up in Scotland. No, it seemed a long way, all the way from Devon to the other end of the country. Yeah. But, of course, later on we learned why. I mean, that's where the convoy was waiting. And that must have been planned a few weeks before us.
Where did you disembark from the train, or detrain?
Goodock. And when we got there was a lot of red caps around. Once we got off the train, you couldn't get back out. Oh, you more or less, shall I say, on the platform. Dockside, shall we say. But once you got off that train, there was no coming back. I suppose that would have stopped anybody from absconding. Maybe, that's just my thoughts. No, we were put on the ship. It was the Orduna. SS Orduna. And there were still men working on it. Civilians, more or less what, joiners, plumbers, electricians. They were still working on that ship, doing the job for a troop carrier.
Did they get off before the ship sailed?
Oh, yes.
What was the scene in the harbour?
Lots of ships. See, we didn't realise, I mean... There wasn't just the 9 Durhams on our ship. There was the medical corps, there was artillery, you know, you were a mixture. And that would happen with the 6th and 8th. I mean, there wouldn't be much point in putting the 6th, 8th and 9th on a ship and the whole lot going down. That was my thoughts. And that was why they would probably have this convoy all split up, which it was. It was a good few ships.
You'd have a pretty good idea that you're going much farther than the distance from England to France.
We did then, yes.
Was there any sense of excitement in you about where you might be going and landing?
It wasn't so much excitement. It was where, when the ship did sail away and you saw that land leaving. You were leaving, but the land was getting further away. But no. We knew where we were going. I mean, we had the tropical kit. We knew where we were going. Once you got that far. But we were on the SS Orduna.
What was she like?
Well, accommodation, I mean, some were sleeping in hammocks. And some lads even, you know, the tables that were made, where they were, I suppose that's what the joints and all that had done in there. Some lads slept on the tabletops. Anywhere you could sleep, you know.
Pretty tightly packed, were you?
Yes, we were. Right, we were.
What did you sleep on, or Ian?
Sometimes, if you got a chance, get a hammock. When you got used to it. Right.
And were these issued to you?
No. There was the hooks in the, and they were there. And of course, when they weren't in use, they just sort of folded and left there, you see. But after a while, of course, they were claimed. Same lads got them every time, you know. But you seemed as though you seemed to get to know men then. You were all together. It wasn't too far away. And then, of course, we used to do PT, and you even did arms drill as we were on the way out on board the ship.
What were the feeding facilities like?
Well, they used to bring the stuff up from the galley, you know, and it was served from like the end of the table, shall we say, where there could have been 24. Say a dozen to each side, I don't know. And it was just served up, you know. Of course, the first few days, 2 or 3 days, you weren't on your grub. You weren't on it.
Did you suffer from seasickness?
It wasn't so much seasickness, I suffered with headaches. First couple of days. They used to say, wait till you get your sea legs. But lads were just lying about here, there, you know, till they got organised.
Was the food of a better standard than what you had on land?
Well, I would say about the same. About the same. More or less stew. You got stew, you know. In fact, some lads, I remember some lads, they couldn't eat it, and a lot of it went out the porthole. But eventually, we got used to it.
The latrines on the ship, were they okay?
Well, they were, how shall I put it? They weren't just single latrines, you know. They made what, I don't know how to explain that, more like a trough. And the bench was put across the top, you know. And they were flushed with, well, we see what, of course. They would be flushed every time. I mean, you could have half a dozen or a dozen all sitting together, as the saying is. Yeah.
Washing facilities, were they okay?
Well, here and there. I remember one time, for to get a shower and that, they used to have big tarpaulins on the ship for the sun, you know. And if it rained, they used to catch the rain. And lots of times the lads used to push the tarpaulin up and get underneath and get showered, more or less. That was a good idea.
Did you have any duties on the ship?
The one main one I got was I was detailed off to take four men down into one of the holes, and in there we had our gas capes. Well, you know, these gas capes, they were all green. They, if they were left folded open, you were in the heat. They would just stick together and there would be no use. So all those gas capes, they were taken down into the one of the holes and laid out flat. And every day, used to take two or four men down there, and all always had to be kept turned, you know, one over the top, to stop them from sticking together. That was one of the duties that I had for quite a while. Different lads, of course. Of course, some of them used to volunteer. If there was any rifle driller out on up the top, they would rather be turning gas capes, that type of thing. Which was army life. Scroungers. Yeah. But they were good.
Inspections, were they carried out?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Who carried those out?
Your platoon officers, mostly. You couldn't get a battalion together, you know. Different companies had different parts of the ship. Yeah.
And your decks would be inspected, no doubt.
The naval people used to come around. I believe the captain and whoever used to were regularly around the decks and that, you know. You still had to be under discipline, strong discipline as well. It was his ship. Of course, we used to see some of there was some civilians on board there because it was a merchant ship. See, it was a merchant ship, and they had duties to do. I remember seeing some of them at one time on that journey, the bags of potatoes that had gone off, you know, rotten and that, and just dumped them over the side. But that was done by these merchant seamen.
Were they English or British?
Oh,
origin?
Yes, they were all English, these. From, I believe the ship come from Liverpool. Yeah, they were, oh, yes.
You would have to keep your deck area clean, then.
Oh, yes.
Was this a personal responsibility?
Yes. Well, you had your section, you had your sergeant, your platoon sergeant, then you had your platoon officer, and then, of course, above him was your captain, company commander. Oh, yes, I mean, the platoon officer was responsible for his men.
As the journey went on and you were in such crowded conditions and it was a long journey, did that cause any fraying of tempers and lowering of spirit or morale?
I don't think so. There's one time we hadn't been long out of Scotland. And on the way down, of course we had escorts. I don't know, there would be cruisers or destroyers. They were escorting this whole convoy. And on the way down, there was an accident. Our ship was bumped on the way down. And we heard, that one of our own ships, Steeden, had gone or something, and it had bumped this Orduna. And we put into Freetown, Sierra Leone. Probably, I don't know, that would be to see if there was any too much damage, I suppose. But we were there. Your Dune was there, probably a day. Maybe into the second day. And then we joined up with the convoy again. But there was a big, on the side of the ship, you could tell it had been bumped because the deck had come up. Luckily enough, we were all okay. But that we put into Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Were you asleep when this accident happened?
Yes, we were.
You'd hear
at least most of us was, yes.
What did you think when you had this?
We just heard a bump. You didn't know. We didn't know what it was, you know. Oh, yes.
Was there a canteen on the ship?
Canteen.
You could get your beer or whatever.
I can't remember. There was a canteen of some sort on the ship. run like a nappy style. Yes.
You were talking about drills, and you mentioned that you did rifle drills, you did PT.
Mm-hmm.
What other ways do they keep you fit and interested?
Did a lot of physical training. I remember one time on one side of the ship, I don't know which side was, they had like a sports effort, you know, running the length of the ship, right, I don't know what you get, would you get 60 yards? And used to race down the deck. But at the other end where you were running, they used to put about maybe half a dozen men acting more like barriers, you know, and you run into them instead of running into the hard woodwork. Yeah. Oh, we did sort of a bit of sports.
Boxing?
There was always that. You always got a boxing, yes.
Did you get...
Not for me, though.
You weren't forced to do it?
No.
Bingo or housey, whatever they call it, was that
they used to call it tombola. Yes, we did that.
Who ran that?
Well, there was always somebody ready to take on those jobs, you know.
Is this because they could make a bit out of it?
I suppose so. They were used to it, you know.
Cards? Were the cards?
There was always cards out. But I never saw... Well, of course, you weren't supposed to gamble, you know. That created trouble. But there was card playing meant on, yes. Probably there was some betting went on, I don't know.
Concerts, were they given? Organised?
Well, more or less sing-song, that type of thing. It's funny, though, when you get a mixture of people from all parts, there's always somebody can do a turn. I found that out in the army.
Were you kept reasonably interested? Did it become boring in the long term?
Well, you always had lectures, you know.
What would the lectures be about?
Well, a lot of it was infantry training, and then we had, used to get all of our section together, and you were taught, brought up to date with first aid and what have you, ready for if the time came, which it did. That was one time where they could get all, say, stretcher bearers together. Later on, they were sent out to companies.
It was a pretty big convoy.
It was a big convoy.
Do you know much about the route you followed? Leaving Glasgow?
Well, just that I can remember putting into Sierra Leone. I suppose we would go a long way out into the Atlantic. And by the time we got to... down to the Cape, some of the convoy went into Cape Town, but we went round the Cape and into Durban.
When you got to Freetown, you say you were in there a day. Did you get the chance to go ashore?
Oh, no. I suppose the ship just put in there maybe to be checked over, maybe. I don't know. No. There's one thing we did see when we were there. These natives used to come out in the little boats trying to flog your fruit, oranges and what have you. Well, of course, you were told not to buy from them. But they had a clever trick. They used to... they had a basket on the end of a rope, and they used to chuck the rope end up first, and you had to drag the basket up. But you had to put your money in and send it down to one of these bum boats, I think they called them. And he would put the fruit in, and you would drag it up the side. I can remember that. And the lads used to throw coins or chuck them into water. And these used to dive out the boats and dive in and get the coins. Marvellous how they went down. Because the coin just used to flip-flop. It was marvellous.
Did you play any tricks on them with in this barge?
Well, there was always lads ready to do that, you know. Get the fruit, but they got wise. They wanted the money before they sent the fruit up, you know. That. But you weren't supposed to do it, mind.
Was it always money exchange? Would they take other things?
No, money. Money in my eyes. They knew where the money was and all.
What was their language like, that they were obviously
shouting? Well, now and again, I think they learned a lot of language from the troops that had gone out there. They'd learnt a lot. They knew all the words. Glasgow, Shill, Liverpool, Tanner, they knew them all, you know. Yes.
Some swearing?
Lots of it. Well, yes, they'd learnt all the... You'd think they'd had a book. They knew it all.
So when you were sailing south, of course, it was getting hotter. Did it become particularly unpleasant on board?
Oh, yes. We crossed the equator on the, I remember this, on the 8th of June, going down.
And did you have the usual ceremony for crossing the line?
Yes, that was there were certificates there if you wanted to buy them. I think this money went towards the seamen, Merchant Seamen Fund. And they did have the... You know.
You got a certificate for passing.
But I got a certificate, but that's when we crossed the equator the first time on the 8th of June.
And you didn't get involved in King Neptune's?
There was one or two did. Used to get a big wooden razor type of thing and lather, sit them on a chair and had a. Well, there wasn't a pool on this ship. There wasn't a pool, but they made it. Made something available, and they tipped them off the chair. Yes, they did.
Yes. Conditions on board, it was the heat got worse. What happened there?
It was. Well, they had a lot of tarpaulins up, you know, and some lads, unawares, they fell asleep, and by the time they woke up, they were sunburned, because the ship had sailed in a different direction. Of course, they were zigzagging, I believe. And the sun had got to them. And of course, when they woke up, that was it. They were sunburned.
Did they get into trouble for becoming sunburned?
I don't think they did there, because it was a thing that really could be done without... It wasn't deliberately done.
The heat and the intensity of the heat below decks where you were sleeping, how did you overcome that?
Well... With difficulty, I would think.
Did you get on? Were you allowed on deck to sleep?
Oh well, some used to. Oh yes, you weren't forced to stay down below. Oh no.
You must have smelled of it down there.
It did. Sweaty. Oh yes, we were able to come up and walk around the. Of course, you came on the deck to go do the lectures and the training and that sort of thing.
What time was Reveille on the ship?
About the same time, 6.
Same army time.
Oh, aye.
And then presumably the same procedure, you were washed, dressed.
Mm-hmm. Then a meal, breakfast. Mm-hmm.
What might you have after breakfast?
Well, I can't remember. You got a sweet, but I think my memory is it was mostly rice.
After the meal itself, what would you do?
Maybe sit around for a while until it was time for a parade. Of course, the sergeant used to let you know when there was parades, you know. He would be down there and you were pretty well detailed off. You couldn't miss one unless you reported to a sig bear. But of course, on our ship, the Orduna, there was a medical corps on board then, so he reported to the... They took over. You know, the medical officer for the 9 Durhams, of course, he linked up with... He spent most of his time with the field ambulance.